Tonight's subject matter is going to take us to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. So if you'll join me there for just a moment. In fact, I'm not even sure we're going to be in Revelation at all tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I have prayed all week that God would allow this message to be clear, because there is great potential tonight for confusion. I mean, there really is. This is a deep subject, and it's a difficult subject. And so I'm going to ask you to join me as we pray one more time. Even as the choir was singing, you probably noticed I'm sitting over there looking through these notes one more time, because I want to make sure everything is presented in such a way that you don't walk out of here tonight with a deer in the headlights look, but that you understand who can be saved during the tribulation. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit as I share the word tonight, and I pray that the people of God here would understand it clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, I did not ask tonight, and the title of this message is not "Who Will Be Saved During the Tribulation." Last Sunday night, we established in Revelation 7 that there will be people from every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nation under heaven who will be saved during the tribulation. That's not the issue tonight. Tonight, the question is, who can be saved? Because we're going to see tonight from 2 Thessalonians 2, there are some people in the tribulation who cannot be saved. And Paul is going to address that. Now, let me just give this disclaimer. Two disclaimers. Disclaimer number one, I am not a scholar. I'm a preacher and a teacher of the word. I fall far short of being a scholar. There are scholars tonight who disagree with me about this issue. And there are some scholars that I agree with about this issue. So not everyone tonight is going to line up with me, and maybe you won't, concerning 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But here we go. If I can just find 2 Thessalonians, we're going to be in good shape. You know, it comes after 1 Thessalonians. They have actually taken that book out of my Bible. It is not in here. Hold on. There it is. There it is. Have you ever heard of someone who couldn't walk and chew gum at the same time? I cannot talk and find a scripture verse at the same time. I've got it now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Good grief, Bill. You've been studying this Bible for a year or two and you can't even find your text tonight. I need one of those little markers. That's a sign as a pastor you're growing older when you put those little ribbons in your Bible because you can't find the verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's begin reading in verse number 7. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. The lawless one is the Antichrist, by the way, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, now this is very important you see this, power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And if you've ever highlighted or marked a verse, I want it to be verse 11. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion. God will do it. God will send strong delusion that they should believe the lie. that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to stop for a moment and think about a loved one or a friend or a working associate or a neighbor. And you know they're lost. As far as you know, they've never made a decision for Christ. By the way, they have made a decision. Not to make a decision is to make a decision. Did you know that? But as far as you know, they're lost. And you know that if the rapture occurred tonight, they would be left behind. After the rapture of the church, the world is going to be plunged into darkness unlike never before. Jesus said regarding the tribulation, there's never been a time like it in the past, meaning the worst days prior to the tribulation on earth were the days of Noah. And Jesus said the days of Noah, which caused God to destroy the earth, weren't as bad as the tribulation is going to be. The world is going to be plunged into darkness. And then, in spite of all these judgments that will come during the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to rise, and he is going to rule the world. 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to preach the gospel. Last Sunday evening, we saw a harvest of souls coming into the kingdom because of their witness. And during the 7 years, at some point during that tribulation, every person on earth is going to hear the good news of the gospel. But tonight we're looking not at who will be saved, but who can be. Because not all can be. 5 questions I want you to write down if you're keeping notes. Here's the first one. Who will be taken up in the rapture? Well, there's a lot of people who think they're ready who aren't. Did you see the video this morning? I'm telling you, boom, when that rapture occurred on the video, people shook out in the congregation. I could feel it. I did too. It was a scary, frightful moment. There were some in that video who were what? Left behind. They may have thought they were ready, but they weren't. There are some people who are going to be left behind when Christ returns who are religious, but they're not righteous. See, the difference between religion on the one hand and righteousness on the other is huge. Religion is man's feeble attempt to reach God. Salvation is God reaching man. Listen, you cannot reach God. He is too holy. He is too high. He is above us. He is pure and we're not. You cannot reach God. Salvation is God reaching you. There are those who are going to be left behind at the rapture who joined a church, but they never joined Jesus. Somebody asked me recently, what's the best definition you've ever heard for the word Christian? I've told you before, a Christian is one in whom Christ lives. It's the best definition I've ever heard. Not someone, and you ask the average person, would it be interesting if one day you took your legal pad and a pen, or maybe you took a tape recorder to the court square in Lincolnton, and you stayed there all day and you asked 100, 200 people, what is a Christian? Give me your answer, what is a Christian? I'll guarantee you that'd be an education right there, just to hear the various responses. I'll guarantee you there'd be some people to tell you a Christian is someone who goes to church. But you've heard me say this before. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Christians ought to go to church, but going to church doesn't make you one. There will be some people who will say, well, a Christian is someone who believes in God, who believes that a God exists up there somewhere. Well, the Bible says in James that even Satan and the demons believe there's a God, and that isn't going to save them. Others will say, well, a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus. Well, the better definition is a Christian is someone who has believed on Jesus. Listen to John 1, verse 12. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe He lived, He died. You can believe He was an historical figure, and yet you can believe in Him and never receive Him. Salvation is not you saying, I believe Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and walked Galilee and taught and healed and did miracles, and that won't save you. John 1:12 says that salvation lies in receiving Jesus, receiving the Lord. Then there are others. They will give what scholars call intellectual acquiescence to the truths of the Bible. They'll tell you Jesus was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross for sin, that he rose again, and they can still be lost and believe that right here in their head. Romans chapter 10 says that salvation is not believing in the head. Salvation is believing with your heart. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And so a Christian is one in whom Christ actually lives, and that is what saves you, Christ coming to live in you. And if you have trusted Him and He lives within you, then you're going to be taken up in the rapture. Well, you say, Pastor, what if there's sin in my life? What if I'm not walking as closely to the Lord as I should be when Jesus returns? Well, Jesus has an answer for that. There may be unconfessed sin in your life when Christ returns. In fact, I would dare say that if Jesus came this very moment, there may be some of you tonight for whom your walk with Christ is not what it once was. Maybe there's unconfessed sin in your heart right now. Ephesians chapter 5 says when Christ comes to catch you up, He's going to do something else. He's going to clean you up. He will lift you off this earth, and immediately, according to Ephesians chapter 5, you're going to become perfect when you see the Lamb of God. He will present unto Himself, Paul said in Ephesians 5, a pure, clean bride. Second question. The first question was, who is going to be taken up when Christ returns? Question number two, who will be left behind at the rapture? Two groups of people. Group number one, and we won't spend long here, those who have never heard the gospel. This troubles us. I preached on it at Christmas. Only saved people are going to be raptured, and the only way to be saved is to hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot be saved unless you've heard the gospel. And so therefore, people who've never heard the gospel will be left behind when Jesus returns. Now, it might amaze you and shock you to know that right here in Lincolnton, the buckle, as I call it, of the Bible Belt, there are people who've never heard the gospel. How many times have you heard it? Hundreds? Thousands? Well, folks, there's people right here in this county who've never heard it. I did a funeral 2 weeks ago. And after I did this funeral, I was standing out in the welcome area of the funeral home, and a well-dressed, nice-looking man in his 40s, 50s came by, and he shook my hand. He was a friend of the deceased. During the funeral and during my eulogy, I shared, as I always do, the plan of salvation. You see, when I do a funeral, I am cognizant of the fact that I've got a captive audience. I'm also cognizant of the fact that many who are at that funeral, I'll never have a chance to preach to again. They're not there to hear me. They're not there to hear a sermon. They're there because it's a funeral of a loved one or a friend or a working associate. And so I always share the plan of salvation. He came up to me, shook my hand, and he said, I have lived in this county almost all my life, and I have never heard what you shared this morning. He said, I go to church, but I never heard what you shared this morning. Now that should not shock you, because there is a dearth of solid Bible preaching today in churches and in pulpits. But he said, I have never heard the plan of salvation. People like that are going to be left behind when Jesus returns. Never heard the gospel. Let me tell you who else is going to be left behind. Those who have heard the gospel. Here's what happens anytime you hear the gospel. as an unbeliever. You either receive it or you'll reject it. One of the two. Only one of two things can possibly happen. Three things cannot happen when you hear the gospel. You either receive it, that is, believe on the Lord, and if you do that, you are rapture ready. Amen? I am rapture ready. If I had been on that video today, I would have been gone. They would have been looking for me in the pews of that church, because I'd have been gone. Secondly, you can reject it. You can say no to God's greatest gift, and you will remain in your sins. Those who are lost and reject Jesus will be left behind when Christ returns. Question number three. Who can be saved during the tribulation? Now, this is where it gets deep. Not who will be, who can be. This is a highlighter statement. You may want to write this down if you keep notes. Everything I'm going to say from here on out for the next 20, 25 minutes flows out of this statement. The only people, I believe, who can be saved during the tribulation are those who never heard the gospel before the rapture. Okay, just let that marinate in your mind now. The only people who can be saved during the tribulation are those who never heard the gospel before the rapture. You know why you're going up when Christ comes down? Because you've been saved. That's why you're going. But if you're here tonight and you're lost, you've never been saved, if Jesus returned this very moment, you've heard enough gospel in this church over the years to save the world 100 times over. And you'll be left behind, and you will have no opportunity to be saved after the rapture is over and the tribulation begins. There are people in every nation this evening who have heard the good news. Did you know that? I mean, you cannot go to any Christian, any nation where there aren't believers in Christ. It's an amazing thing. All over the globe, did not Jesus say, on the day of that great reunion in heaven, they're going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west to be seated with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But listen, just as there are people in every nation who have been born again, there are also people in every nation who have never heard the good news. My goodness alive, if you got a man in Lincolnton who came up to me 2 weeks ago and said, I've lived here all my life and I have never heard the plan of salvation, then you can rest assured there are people in every nation who have never heard that wonderful message. These are the only ones who will have a chance to be saved during the tribulation. Now, in Revelation 7, we saw it last Sunday evening. They're going to come from all nations, tribes, kindreds, and tongues. Everyone, and in fact, just turn there. I told you we wouldn't be in Revelation tonight, but I want you to see this. Quickly, turn to Revelation 7, and I want you to underline. I think it'll help you to see this, make the connection. Verse 9, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude. A lot of people going to be saved because of the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, which no man could number from all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. Would you make a note here? Everyone mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, are those who never heard the gospel before the rapture. Never. They didn't hear it. There are 2.5 billion people tonight on planet Earth who have never heard the gospel. And everyone mentioned in Revelation 7, 9 are those who represent people who never heard it before the Lord came. Question number four, who cannot be saved during the tribulation? Who can be? Those who never heard the gospel prior to the Lord's return. Who cannot be saved during the tribulation? Those who heard the gospel during what we call this church age. before the rapture. They heard it and rejected it, and they will not have a chance to be saved during the tribulation. The church age is what we are living in right now. Now, anyone who hears the gospel in this day and age and rejects it will be left behind and no chance to be saved. Now, please note what I didn't say. I didn't say people who went to church before the rapture and were left behind. I said people who never heard the gospel. Because, you see, you can go to church and never hear the gospel. You can. You can go to church every week and never hear the clear plan of salvation. I'm an example of that. I grew up in a liberal church in Charlotte. It's a family church, Presbyterian church. There's some wonderful Presbyterian churches in our community and in nation, but there are some very liberal Presbyterian churches. And I didn't hear the gospel till I was 14 years old. Grew up in this church, never heard the pastor of my church preach on sin, the cross, the blood, heaven, hell, the plan of salvation. Never heard it. I didn't have anything to reject because I never heard the Word of God. People in this church right here at Boger City Baptist Church who were lost have heard the gospel. They've heard it through their Sunday school teachers. They have heard it on Sunday morning. They have heard it on Sunday night if they come back for evening worship. They have heard it on radio and television. They have read about it in books. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And I want you to know tonight that God knows who's heard it and who hadn't. God knows. God knows every human heart on this earth, and being the omniscient God He is, He knows everyone who has heard it and everyone who hasn't. And so here's the fifth question. Why can't they be saved? Why can't those who reject the gospel, having heard it before the rapture, be saved during the tribulation? Here's where we get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Reason number one, there's two reasons why anyone who heard the gospel prior to the rapture of the church will not have a chance to be saved during the tribulation. Two reasons, and here's reason number one. They rejected the good news of the gospel prior to the rapture. They rejected it. Now look in verse number 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. With all unrighteous deception among those who perish, that is, those who are going to hell, and he's referring now to the tribulation. Keep that in mind. He has already talked in verse 8 about the lawless one coming, that is, the Antichrist. So we're talking about people during the tribulation. And he talks about a group of people in verse 10 in the tribulation who are going to perish and go to hell. Who are they? Underline it. Highlight it. If you've got mascara, use that, whatever it takes, because this is a critical verse. Among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Did you notice that phrase, did not receive, is in the past tense? These people are in the tribulation in verse 10, but Paul said the problem with them, the reason they are going to go to hell and never have a chance to be saved during the tribulation is because they did not believe before the rapture. I'm adding that, but that's exactly what he's saying. They didn't believe, they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They rejected it. They believe not, they receive not. In fact, that's exactly what I want you to see in verse 10. They did not receive, look at verse number 12, they did not believe. You know what salvation is? Believing and receiving. Would you remember that? It is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Him, John 1:12. As many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to be called the children of God. And so both of these are in the past tense. Verse 10, believe not, receive not. They received not, in verse 10, they believed not, past tense, the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now here's what's amazing. In our age, the age in which we're living, and I didn't see this until studying this week. It just hit me like a thunderbolt. In the day and age in which we live before the rapture, you cannot be saved if you don't hear the gospel. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to preach a sermon called, Is Jesus the Only Way to Heaven? He said he was. I take him at his word. But there's people who'll argue with the Lord Jesus and say, no, Jesus, you're not the only way to heaven. Imagine arguing with Jesus about that when he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except he come by me. In our age, you cannot be saved if you don't hear, but after the rapture, you cannot be saved if you did hear. Did you catch that? In our day and age, you cannot be saved if you don't hear. After the rapture, during the tribulation, you'll never be saved if you did hear during the age in which we live. Look at verse number 12. They believe not the what? The truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the truth. You know why you're saved tonight? Because you believed the truth. You have believed the gospel. What is going to happen to those who heard the message, rejected it, left at the rapture, enter the tribulation? Verse number 12, they're going to be condemned. Do you see it? That they all may be condemned. All of them. All of them. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I'll be damned? You ever heard that? They don't know what they're saying when they say that. I want you to know that if you reject the good news of the gospel before the rapture, it's exactly what's going to happen to you. You will be damned. That isn't my word, by the way. It's Paul's word, that they all might be, in the King James, damned, condemned to hell who didn't, past tense, believe the truth. Here's the second reason. They're going to be condemned not only because they rejected the good news of the gospel during the church age, and when Christ came, they were left behind. Secondly, they're going, now this is where it really gets intense, they're going to believe the lie. Look at verse 11. They've been left behind. They're now in the tribulation. Who comes along in the tribulation? The Antichrist. For this reason, what reason, Paul? Because they rejected the gospel in verse number 10 during the church age and didn't receive the love of the truth. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion. They're going to be deceived during the tribulation. You know who will deceive them? The Antichrist will. But who sends the delusion? God. Don't make this text say something it doesn't say. Don't make this text say the devil is going to send it. Don't try to do theological gymnastics and get around it. You cannot. God is going to send the delusion. You say, can God do that? Let me tell you something. God can do whatever He wants to do, and He's God. The greatest definition for the word sovereignty I have ever heard came from the lips of Lehman Strauss, who preached at Merriman Avenue Baptist Church in 1997. I was on the second pew. That great prolific author and Bible conference speaker said, here's what sovereignty is. God can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He chooses to do it, to whomever He chooses to do it to, and He's right when He does it. Paul says in Romans 9, who in the world are you as the clay to argue with the potter about what he's doing? How audacious for you to accuse God of wrongdoing. God is going to send the delusion. And here's what's going to happen to those who've heard the gospel and left behind and go in the tribulation. They are going to be blinded to the truth of the gospel during the tribulation. The same God who opened your eyes, whether it was a year ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago, the same God who opened your eyes and caused you to come to Calvary and saved you and gave you His amazing grace, that same God is going to cause some people to be blinded. Now you say, Pastor, you mean to tell me God causes blindness? Do you mean to tell me that God causes people not to be able to see spiritually? See, some of you thought that the devil was the only one who blinded eyes. Not true. I know that 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God, little g, Satan of this world, has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the gospel should appear unto them. I know the Bible says that, but I want you to join me in Romans 11 for a moment. God will send them strong delusion. Now, some people just cannot swallow that. That's not the God they think they know. But the Bible says in Romans 11, these are people who heard the good news. It wasn't a matter of them never having heard. But those who heard the good news and said no, Romans 11. And I want you to notice what Paul says in verse 8. Romans 11 and verse 8. Does God actually blind people? But look at this. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor. Now, he's talking about the Jews here in context. But he's going to do that during the tribulation. God will send delusion. God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. Run over to Luke 8. Luke 8. And look at verse 10. Luke 8. Now, I know this is coming hard for some of you, but let's stay true to the Word here and see what happens as we finish this thing up tonight in 2 Thessalonians 2. Luke 8 and verse 10. And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Who is it that sends the delusion? Who is it that sends the blindness? In this case, it is God. And I want you to notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that in the Greek New Testament, now it doesn't appear in all translations in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, but scholars say that the definite article is in place. I'm not going to give you a Greek lesson here. It's not that important, but I just want you to know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the definite article is in place in the Greek language, which means God will send them strong delusion, and it's more than they will believe a lie. They will believe the lie. The lie. You know who the lie is? The Antichrist. Jesus is the truth. Satan, according to John 8, verse 45, is the father of lies, and he is going to be the father of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition. And so I want you in your mind, your glorified imagination, to go with me now, fast forward into the future. We're going to get catapulted into the tribulation for a moment. You've been left behind. You heard the good news of the gospel during the church age. Might have been at Boger City Baptist Church under Pastor Bill Bigham or Pastor B.J. Morris, or when Robert Redding was preaching a sermon, or maybe in your growing up years you heard it in the church you went to and you rejected it and Christ returned and you're left behind. You know what's going to happen when the Antichrist comes on the world scene? You're going to follow him. Your allegiance will be to the beast. Do you know why your allegiance will be to Him? Because you're going to believe the lie that He tells. He's going to tell you He's the world leader. He's the answer to all your problems. He's going to bring peace. Just trust Him. He is the father of lies, Satan is, and his son is going to come on the scene. And the eyes of those who heard the gospel prior to the rapture and rejected it will be blinded. I'll tell you what else that person's going to do. Because God will send them strong delusion, they will have no problem going ahead and receiving the mark of the beast, back of the right hand, forehead. Remember from Revelation 13 last Sunday evening, without the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, the number of the beast. We know the number of the beast is 666. We don't know what the mark is going to be, but without it, you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade. And here's what's going to happen to anyone who receives the mark of the beast during the tribulation. Not only will they not be able to buy, sell, or trade, they have literally sealed their fate in hell. It is an unpardonable sin during the seven-year tribulation, and if you do it, you have sealed your eternity in the lake of fire. And those who are blinded, those who receive the Antichrist, those who have this strong delusion come over them like a tidal wave, oh, they're going to believe the beast, and they'll have no trouble taking the mark. Let me ask you this question. We're closing. Do you know why you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? I'm going to give you a very simple biblical reason. God opened your eyes. There's an old spiritual called, I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness. That's exactly what happened when Jesus saved you. It was the Holy Spirit of God who ripped off the veil and you saw Jesus. You knew that He was Lord. It wasn't a matter of you getting saved and then having your eyes open. I didn't know how it happened. Just the reverse of that. Your eyes were open to the good news of the gospel and you trusted Jesus Christ. Do you know why you have loved ones who are lost? Do you know why you have friends who are lost? Do you know why people are lost? Well, you say they're lost because they haven't trusted the Lord Jesus. No, it isn't quite that simple. The reason they're lost is because their eyes haven't been opened. The only way to be saved is to have the Holy Spirit open your eyes. I remember having heard the gospel over and over and over, but as a 14, 15-year-old young boy in June of 1971, even though I had heard the gospel before, on that morning, I really heard it. And the Holy Spirit took the veil off of my eyes, and I could see. I could see Jesus for who He was. I could see my sins, and I ran to the cross, and I was born again. My eyes were opened, and I believed. Why is God going to blind them during the tribulation? Because they rejected the good news of the gospel during this age in which we live. And I'm going to tell you something else. Would you look back, and we're through with this verse. Verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians 2. One thing the Antichrist is going to do is, if you look at it, have the power of the devil to do power, signs, and wonders. He's going to be a miracle worker. Oh, you say, I thought God was the only one who did miracles. No, God sometimes allows Satan enough leash and enough latitude to do miracles. The Egyptian magicians in Moses' day, filled with demons in Egypt, complicated and kind of muddied the waters a little bit for a lot of people. How in the world could they do miracles? Well, God permitted it. These were agents of Satan, and they duplicated some of the miracles of Moses. And so God is going to allow the Antichrist to do the miraculous during the tribulation. And these people who were deceived and deluded are going to be mesmerized by His miracles. You know, one of the most amazing things that's going to happen to the Antichrist during the tribulation, we'll get to it in Revelation 13, latter part of the summer, he's going to be assassinated and he's going to rise again from the grave. Revelation 13, I saw one of his heads as though it were mortally wounded, and yet he's going to come back to life. I'll guarantee you can get a following during the tribulation if you're assassinated and you die and you rise again from the grave. That'll pretty much guarantee you a following. What do you think would have happened in 1963 if John F. Kennedy had been raised from the dead after having been assassinated? Something tells me he would have been wildly popular. That's exactly what's going to happen to the Antichrist. They're going to be persuaded to follow the beast. They're going to follow him, strong delusion. They'll believe the lie, and they will seal their eternity in hell. Now listen to this in closing. If you don't hear the gospel before the rapture and you're left behind, it doesn't guarantee you'll be saved during the tribulation. Do you understand where I'm going with this? You can still be lost during the tribulation. But there are millions who will reject it prior to the rapture, and they're going to be left behind, and they will take the mark of the beast. They will hear it. They will reject it. They will follow the Antichrist. But many who never heard before the rapture, right here in Lincolnton, and in China, and in Africa, and in Canada, and in Chile, and in Argentina, all over the world, never heard the gospel, they're going to go into the tribulation, and they're going to hear the message of the 144,000 Jews, and they're going to be saved, and they're going to come from every nation under heaven. You say, Pastor, in light of what you've told us, what do I do about my lost father or husband who's heard the gospel, my children, my grandson, a friend at work, someone I go to school with? Pray as though you've never prayed before. Pray and give them to God and ask God by His Holy Spirit to work on their heart and to convict them of their need of salvation. Because I believe with all my heart, our text tonight indicates, if you hear it now and you reject it and you're left behind, there's no hope. Bow your heads for just a moment. Every head bowed.